Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, near or far, high or low, you're listening to the Coach D podcast. And listeners, we have a returning guest in the studio with me today. And listeners, you know how we do on the Coach D podcast. We have to introduce this coach, you know, someone who's really impacted how I not just approach shooting as a player, but how I teach shooting as well. So let's intro the music and introduce this guest the right way. Listeners, I'm just so hyped, so geeked. Returning to the court, we have someone who has impacted my understanding of shooting on a whole new level, as well as the athletes he's able to reach out to all across the world. He has been to many coaching clinics, seminars teaching the art of shooting to many athletes. Listeners, please give a warm welcome to the second guest returning to the Coach D podcast, Coach My Dog.
Still, yes, sir. still the best intro I've ever had in my life. So it remains undefeated, man.
Thank you. I mean, it's been a lot of time, you know, since I last had you on the podcast. So before we even just speak about just how things have changed, how things have grown, you know, just the new conversations, the people you've been able to interact with, and just reflecting on your personal growth over the years, Coach Mike, just talk to me about right now, 2023. How's your physical, and how's your mental?
Amazing, man. That always goes to the forefront for me anyway.
Right.
Before I was able to, I guess, do what I'm doing now, that was always the focus. If you don't take care of your body, don't take care of your mind, it's really hard to get anything done. So that's always the first thing that I like to make sure is in line and ready to go before anything else ever comes about.
Right. And just for those who don't know, I think I'm kind of going to start and then feel free to take over in terms of, you know, for those who are listening to the podcast the very first time. And I mean, if you do not know who Coach Mike Dunn is, the link is in the description to all his info, his Instagram, his subscription service. Please sign up, because when it comes to shooting, you know, it's honestly, for me personally, it's you know, the top two that I look at is yourself, Coach Mike, and Coach Rob, because I mean, when it just comes to just really simplifying something that can be quite complex, you know, like the both of you just break it down to such an understandable level. So just a quick brief, you know, for me, you know, I've become quite the sharp shooter, you know. So for me, I was completely obsessed with shooting, you know, and you're obviously going through so many different learning techniques. You're going through quite historical ones, such as, you know, balanced eyes, elbow, follow through. And then I came across Coach Rob and then Coach Mike Dunn, and the both of you guys just opened up my mind to a whole new level of not just how to shoot, but kind of just breaking down the mechanics and how we move instinctually as humans, you know, and then just making that relation to, well, how you make a one-handed pass is exactly how you shoot. You just change the angle. That literally blew my mind just in terms of how I came across you. But for those who are listening in and, you know, they're hearing your name for the first time, they're going across your page and they're even looking at your subscription service, how did you get into the role that you are in today?
Yeah, I mean, I could always shoot the ball, but I didn't necessarily understand how to teach that. Eventually I was working like a normal job, and it got to a point where I knew I wanted to do something different. I knew I wanted to get back into basketball in some capacity, and knowing that I could shoot, I thought that I could teach it.
Right.
And then I would say that I was very wrong about that. It's one of those things that doing and teaching are two completely different things. Although when you can do both, then you become pretty dangerous in terms of what you want to do with it. But so I just started teaching it kind of on a whim, just because It was fulfilling, right? It was one of those things that's much more fulfilling than sitting at a desk and doing paperwork and all that kind of stuff all day. And I started to really just fall in love with one, the relationships being built through teaching
Right.
kids how to shoot, but then two, just the art of being able to break things down from player to player in the most simple way possible. And teaching is very rewarding if you look at it from that perspective. As each player I get to work with, I get to learn from them, because they're going to process things and communicate things back to me that nobody else ever would.
Right.
So it's like each time, if you really go in with that mindset of teaching shooting, I'm putting kind of, more tools in my toolbox every single session I have, so long as that I'm mentally engaged in it, because of just how unique we all are. And I've just been riding that wave ever since, just trying to just get better and better at being able to communicate a point to the player that is in front of me.
Right. And even speaking of teaching, I just kind of look at how kind of where you started to where you are now. I mean, personally, I got hyped when I saw that you was doing global camps, you're teaching in different parts of Europe and just all over the world. Honestly, coach, I was hyped because I'm like, it's finally being taught to the masses, you know, like you're actually physically able to go to these camps, go to these parts of Europe and actually impact and teach these kids, you know, just some of the ways you can learn how to be a effective shooter. So how was that like for you, just in terms of how did the camps even start? And when you kind of reflect, you know, you starting in your town and then gradually it's growing to the point where you're able to do clinics on a global, international level. Like, how did that come about, and how does it feel to be able to do that?
Yeah, it's really cool even to reflect back on it.
Right.
How it came about, I had a conversation with somebody like back in 20, I think it was like 2017,
Okay.
and we were on the phone, and he was talking to me about what my goal was. Like, what he's like, "What's your goal? Where do you see this going?" And at this point, I probably had not done a shooting clinic yet, in any capacity. And I had told this person on the phone, I said, I'm going to teach shooting all over the world. Like, I said, I'm going to take my family with me.
Yes, sir.
And I remember the person on the other end of the phone laughing and just being like, "Well, that's a very lofty goal." He's like, I don't know of anybody else that does that. And since I've been able to do it. But I think that there's, like, to anybody, like, if you're a coach listening, if you're a player, I think there's extreme power in being able to kind of see the things that you want as if they already exist before they do.
Yep, yes, sir.
Because that lays the groundwork for you to then take the steps necessary to making it happen. And so I knew where I was going. I knew, as weird as it may sound, that to me it was like an inevitability.
Right.
And I knew that each time that I was putting things out or helping somebody out, it's just, you're to borrow a term from Alex Hormozi, you're stacking your proof, right? You're
I like that.
stacking your undeniable proof that what he said, you are who you say you are.
Right.
And that's how that's it's really simple process, but it's just, staying super consistent with what it is that you say you want to do,
Right.
and then just constantly pushing yourself to do so. And then people notice, and people from all walks of life are watching you. And you may not know it, but there could be the president of an organization
Very
watching you
true.
and saying, "Hey, I'm really interested in what you're doing. I need you out here." And that's kind of how things can get rolling. But
Right.
as long as you're taking those necessary steps towards what it is that you say you want to do, man, it's all well within anybody's ability to do so. And I think that's a really cool thing.
Man, so how is it like, coach, just in terms of when you took that flight and you kind of got a chance to see not just, you know, your teaching shooting, but you got a chance to see what the basketball culture is like in other places in Europe and just all over the world. And from your perspective, how did you see the basketball culture out there in Europe, just in terms of how many basketball courts you saw, or even just the style of play, and just how quickly some of the players pick on some of the things that you was teaching?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I would say there's definitely less basketball courts than here in America, for sure, for sure. And then gym time can be hard to come by as well.
Indeed.
Whereas Indeed. Here in America, it's a little bit different. I would say that overall, I think kids are kids for the most part, but depending on where I was, if I'm in like a club organization somewhere in Europe, it's noticeably different how attentive the kids are. Right. It's like they're really there to learn, and they're really there to apply. And the more time we have to spend together, I mean, it's a really, really cool thing. So how they pick up on, I think any kid can pick up on things fairly quickly, so long as that they're engaged. It's the being engaged part.
Very true.
That's
right.
Maybe a bit difficult for some, but yeah, I would say, definitely less courts, gym time harder to come by, but the experience with the kids has been nothing short of incredible. Just, nice. Just awesome, awesome kids.
Nice. And when it comes to, you know, you being at the camps, or just, I guess, how you approach teaching now compared mm-hmm. to before, how do you approach teaching the shooting fundamentals to players of different ages and different skill levels?
Yeah, it's great. My teaching has continued to evolve, and I think that's what it needs to do, because I expect players to evolve. I need to evolve as well. And everything for me has come down to just taking away. And those are the two words that I use a lot now, in terms of, look, when we're changing or we're learning, I don't want you to look at this as in it's a monumental feat for you to have to be able to incorporate what we're going to teach. I want you to look at it more so as us stripping away what's unnecessary.
Right.
And getting to the bare bones of this is the most simple we can make it. And whether you're a young kid or an older player, the idea of things getting easier, I think in coming from that perspective, is a big time mind shift in terms of buy-in. Because if you think about it like, hey, we're just taking away. I'm not expecting you to add a bunch of stuff. I just want you to take away. It tends to get the mind saying, hey, all right, well, we're just removing things. So if I'm just removing things, this is much, much more manageable. And, you know, it just goes down to making things as simple as possible, learning to put our body in the right spot before the ball even starts to move. And all this stuff that at face value may seem overly simple, but we don't really learn it. And I know I didn't learn it. And by doing that and just learning how to move. I mean, first stage now, we don't even use a basketball. We just learn how to get into a stance that's going to allow us to move the ball the correct way.
Right.
But I find, especially with young kids, that if we just remove the ball for the first little part of it, we can then get their body into the right place. But for some reason, that basketball makes kids do some crazy things. So we get the body right first, then we introduce the basketball, and then from there it becomes much, much more manageable. So yeah, it's just all about simplicity. There's a book called Simplicity by Edward de Bono, and he has a quote in there. He said, you only get simplicity if you want it bad enough. So I think you have to be willing as a teacher to break down what can be fairly complex and break it down to something that's so manageable that a 10-year-old going to look at you when you're talking and be like, oh yeah, this makes sense. You know what I mean? So that's the goal every time out.
Completely. And even because I think the most recent, I guess, for me, you know, following you for quite a while, and I think the biggest thing that clicked for me, just in terms of what small detail would take my shooting to the next level, is bringing the ball up the body first and then allowing your legs to follow. Like, for me personally, coach, that unlocked just a whole new way of how to approach shooting, but it just became that much more effortless, you know, because I guess before, when I would catch and shoot, I would feel like everything would need to move in unison, if that makes sense, in terms of as I'm bending my knees and as I'm going up, everything needs to move at the same time. But I kind of noticed that as soon as I catch the ball, I bring the ball up my body first, as you coach, and then allow my legs to follow afterwards. It just felt effortless, and the, you have that fluidity, you have that leverage, you know, that you speak of. So honestly, hats off to you, because that was the turning point, you know, for me becoming that much more confident as a shooter.
Yeah, that's huge, and getting somebody to understand that can be difficult, because
right,
because to the untrained eye, to somebody that watches it, they may not be able to see it. And the truth of the matter is, what that looks like for you can look entirely different for the guy standing next to you shooting.
Right.
So body types play such a huge role in that. But the principle of what you just said, ball first, body leads, ball first, body attaches under, that principle shows up in every single great shooter.
Right.
No matter what. Now, how it looks may be a little, if you start to understand that principle, that can really unlock some cool stuff that happens. It sounds like.
So I think, I mean, damn, there's so much to even say. Like, when you kind of reflect, coach, kind of like to the first time, you know, I had you on the podcast to now, what would you say are the three biggest things that's changed over that time for yourself, whether that's just on a professional level or even on a personal level?
Wow. I would say the one thing that's changed big time is my time.
Okay.
I remember having a conversation with a guy that I consider a mentor of mine, and I thought I was busy back then. And now I look back and I would say, wow, I wasn't doing anything. Right.
Right.
So, but I think that's just the continuation of any time you're moving forward in something. That's kind of how it starts to be. Mm-hmm. So time has definitely changed. You value time, a lot more. I think, another thing that has changed is just the way that I communicate with my players, learning over time, just how important being able to go slow is.
Yes.
I think in the beginning stages, you're so worried about retaining people versus actually getting them better.
Right.
If that makes sense, because
right,
there's still the business aspect to it. So you're worried about, well, what if they're not going to be engaged doing this one thing, or I need to make sure that the parents are happy and all this stuff. And I don't worry about any of that anymore.
Right.
It's not even on my radar. It's I'm here to do one thing, and I have to either the person's ready to accept the information or they're not, but I need to be able to communicate it in a way that they understand it. So it's about slowing down, communicating, and making sure we get what we're after.
Right.
That's a really, really big thing. Hopefully I'll just continue to get better and better at that. And then I guess the third thing probably is just worrying less.
Okay. Nice.
I think there's always an underlying feeling of anxiety when what you do is what's, you know, helping to support the family, and when it's just you and there's no other company or anything to lean on, it's a different kind of animal sometimes.
Definitely.
But, again, I think it just comes down to trusting whatever your vision is, and knowing that if you can see it, even when everybody else can't, then you're going to get there eventually. So being able to kind of just let it be and just do what I think I do best, that has proven to be very, very beneficial for me and my mental health as well, for sure.
Definitely. At which, I guess, out of the, I mean, you have so many more future camps to attend, so many seminars to still teach at as well. Has there been, so far, coach, has there been any camps that stood out to you the most, just in terms of, okay, that's the teaching point that I need to focus on? Or,
wow,
like, has there been anything that's kind of stood out to you the most?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, I think I think getting players to understand, and this is all because this is kind of like it's all fresh. I just got back from Gran Canaria, right? Yep. In the Canary Islands. Nice. and I was in Australia as well. Wow. But balance, man. Like, okay. getting a player to actually feel what balance is, and it's I can put players, a lot of players, in situations where if they were to come up to me and they're like, "Oh, I'm balanced when I shoot," I can put them in situations where it would completely turn that statement on its head, because they would see just how unbalanced they really are.
Okay.
And I think that has been one of the biggest things of I've started each clinic out with that now, and just nice. Starting to really try to feel it, because if you get that wrong, if you get balance wrong, then no matter what we do from the waist up and everything else, how the ball moves, ball first, connection, all this kind of stuff, you're still at a disadvantage because your balance isn't where it needed to be when everything started. And it's not a sexy thing.
Right.
Right. It's a feel thing. How mentally in tune can I be with my body right now? And how aware can I be of when I start to move? Can I start to grasp onto the idea that the shot begins the moment I move, whether I have the ball or I don't? Like, there's so many things that start to come into play here that to the outsider looking in, they may say, "Oh, that's the most simple thing in the world." But to the kid that's actually concentrating on doing it,
right.
He probably has 100 things running through his head, yes. trying to make sure that he gets right. And very I think true. that's a really cool thing, because to a lot of people, it may just look like, "Oh, that person's just doing catch and shoot jump shots." But to that player's thinking about how they're dropping to the floor. How are yes. my feet connected to the floor? What's my yes. chest doing? What's my chin? You know what I mean? So that has been probably the biggest revelation for me in clinics, being able to focus in on that, communicate that as in a mass of kids, and then get them to then be able to perform it. That's definitely been something. And again, that's maybe because it's so recent, but
yes.
that's definitely a huge one.
And during these clinics, do you get a chance to catch a vibe for the city or like the area that you're staying at?
Oh, heck
or?
Yeah.
Okay. Heck yeah. Coach Ryan said, heck yeah.
Well, you okay. got, I mean, like it's I didn't travel as a kid. We didn't really go many places. And,
okay.
and so, well, we were in the States, but never out of the States. So
yes.
Like, you know, I think it's so important for me, for my family. Like, we get to see these different cultures.
100%.
Man, like you have a brand new perspective on the world. And oh, I think that's the coolest part. I mean, I love the basketball part, but being able to immerse yourself in a culture that you've never been inside of and seeing yeah. how people are living, and man, like that's, you know, it's something that if you have the opportunity to do it, I would encourage anybody to do it, because it really does put a lot of things into perspective when you return home, and maybe how good you have it, right? Stuff like that. It's one of those things that's kind of hard to put into words. But yeah, I my wife and I, like, we go see it all, man. We never have a plan. We just will walk out our door, because usually we're staying in the heart of a city somewhere,
right?
And we'll just walk out the door if we have a day, and we just, that's all we do. We just walk, and we just kind of let the roads take us where they will,
right?
And experience kind of just the city like anybody that's living there would experience it.
And it's, I mean, you know, it's speaking to you, Coach, in this moment that kind of reflects, like, I remember that conversation you was talking about, like, you kind of had to make that difficult decision in terms of, you know, like, am I stable enough to actually put down the 9-to-5 and really focus right. on my passion, which is teaching? And it's that moment where that pretty much decides your future, you know, and I really commend you, because that moment, and for the listeners who know, like, that moment is extremely huge, because that defines, am I gonna stay comfortable and kind of, you know, work in the 9-to-5, or am I gonna just take a chance, just try something a little outside the box and just see what could be. something different, you know. And honestly, coach, man, just to see from the first convo to now, and just the growth, the teaching, the content, the attention to details. And I think what's crazy for me is even just seeing when you work with players before and after, because I think it's huge when shooters or players can see themselves in some of the clients that you work with, in terms of, oh wow,
right,
I shoot like that, you know, and now wow, so it's actually possible, because I might shoot with my elbow underneath my eye, or I shoot with two hands, or my sequencing isn't that great, and it actually is possible with enough time, dedication, and just getting the reps in, I can actually become more fluid in my shots. So I mean, once again, just hats off to you for just taking that plunge, because it must be a hell of a feeling to know that this round basketball has given me like opportunities that I couldn't even grasp or imagine.
Yeah, it's, you know what, and I think to me, like, there's huge lessons in that, because I read a ton, and one of the things I read a lot is this guy Neville, but he always talks about how every opportunity or every possibility for you, whether it's me, whether it's you, every possibility for you exists right now in the moment, right? Yes, like, sir. you may not be ready to receive it right now, but it exists for you. And if you understand that, then you can make the movement or the strides towards it. So like making that decision, do I stay in the 9-to-5 or do I do this full time where I have no idea? Like in the same capacity, there's a version of me that goes the other way.
Yes.
Right. And then, yes, you know what I mean? So like, it's one of those things that it's really, really interesting when you start to think about it, because we're all full of those decisions every day.
Right.
Like every day we make a decision that can impact us in the long run for the better or for the worse. So it's really cool. It's a really cool thing to think about when you start putting in that perspective. I think we all start to make decisions a little bit differently.
Indeed. And I mean, because I'm sure you get this a lot, just in terms of the DMs, or even, you know, during the coaching clinics, you know, players had a chance to even speak to you and kind of pick your brain about shooting. And especially when it comes to, I mean, every player, whether it's local, national, on the professional level, we all have our shooting slumps. So for yourself, coach, you know, what are some of the things that you would advise just in terms of helping players overcome those shooting slumps and just regain confidence when they're struggling with their shot?
It's a great question. So I think there's two parts to it. I think there's a huge visualization part. I think what you're telling yourself on a constant basis tends to play out in reality.
Okay.
If you say I'm in a slump, you 100% will be, right?
Yes.
I think that's one of those things. Or if you're in the back of your mind, you're always worried about a slump coming. A slump is coming. Okay.
Right.
So I think that's a huge part. I think the other part is just kind of redefining what it means to be a shooter to begin with. I ask a lot of players the question. I say, what's your goal? What's your job as a shooter? And the most common answer, and rightfully so, is usually I got to make shots.
Right.
And I say to them, okay, well, when that ball leaves your hand and that ball is in the air, what impact do you now have on that basketball going in the basket? And the answer is none, right? After that ball leaves your hand, there's a period of time there where we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So I say, then I want you to rethink about what your job as a shooter is. So your job is to create the most efficient, repeatable energy possible to get that ball up in the air and towards the basket, right? We think of slumps because of the outcome. We don't think of slumps because of what we're doing mechanically, right? So we're always focused on outcome. Oh, we missed this, you know, whatever. Well, what are you doing mechanically? How focused are you actually on what you're doing with each shot that you're taking to become the efficient machine that you really can be?
Yes.
And so what we'll tend to do is we'll bring things back to creating the simplest thing. We just say two through. And within every player that I ever work with, we know what two through signifies and what it all embodies. And when we can turn our attention to just two through, it now puts us in the mindset of being the machine or implementing a systematic type of nature to it, where the outcome is just a byproduct of us being an efficient energy creator. And
yes,
when we can do that, it shifts everything. I've watched players go mid-workout to missing every single thing, to then changing what they're thinking about in terms of, well, I don't want you to think make or miss. I just want you to think two through, to then making everything. And it, and then it ties back into what we were just talking about. Like every possibility exists for you. I say to them, who you were 10 minutes ago, right? You haven't physically changed from 10 minutes ago, right? But this ball is going in almost every single time now, and you're doing it confidently. That exists for you. That's who you are. But you have to also believe and step into that version of yourself, right? So there's so many different levels to it, but it's kind of how I approach that area.
If I may, coach, because on that note, when was that moment for you when you really stepped into not just the coach, but the person that you are today? Like, when was that moment where you really made that next step with more confidence and everything just started to click and make sense?
I don't think there's ever a moment. I think it's just over a period of time. I think the more you accumulate, the more people you work with, the more things you read, the more you're pushing forward, then you start to see that. You start to see patterns and all that, recognize that kind of stuff. So I think there's never one defining moment. I think there's a bunch of moments that start to come together in terms of making us who we are. It's like when you put together a resume for a job, it's not just one thing that you've ever done. It's a list of things that you've done, right?
Right.
And that list starts to make up who you are or how you want to be represented. And I think that's the same way.
Right. Right. And one key teaching point that I just like, especially with yourself and Coach Rob, is and it's super important for players to be able to understand this and even apply it in their approach to shooting is if you can feel it, you can change it, you know, which for me, yeah. And again, it's so simple, but sometimes like the simple things can be overlooked or just take it for granted, because some people might say, well, of course I can feel when I shoot, but when you kind of break it down, if you can feel it, if you can feel that elbow sticking out, you'll make that effort of, okay, let me keep my elbow close to the body. So when it just comes to, I would say, and you kind of touched upon it earlier, the mental preparation, you know, like what role does mental preparation play in shooting success, and how do you help those players develop that mental toughness and focus as well?
Yeah, it's huge, man. Like somebody asked me, is shooting mental? Right, they said somebody or somebody will comment and say, like, shooting's all mental, right? They'll say that, and I'll reply back and I'll say, of course it is, like, because all of life is mental. Like, why would shooting be any different, right? Like,
right.
Or everything is upstairs. You know, how we perceive things is all is a matter of the mind. So, you know, getting a player to start to be able to, you know, understand and grasp that is different from a case to case basis, because nobody's starting from the same starting line, right? We're all different parts of our journey. I think that the thing is just getting players to, when you said feel, that's the biggest thing. Like if you can really get through to a player that's like, hey, like, I don't want you to just mindlessly go through these reps. I don't care if the rep takes a minute per rep, right, per shot. If you've in this while we're trying to make these changes, if you slow it down and you take the time to actually feel what you're doing, we're going to see some huge, huge results, and you're going to be able to tap into things that you've never been able to tap into before in terms of creating habits. Because it's all habit correction. And I, yes. You know, there's that saying that any habit that's been created unconsciously can be undone consciously, but it's being conscious of what you're doing. That's the difficult part, right? That's the money maker right there. So, you know, getting a player to buy into that is going to be different from a case to case basis, but a lot of times it just comes down to the conversations that you're having with the players. Are you willing to slow it down and even have a conversation with a player?
Very,
you know,
sure.
Like maybe you have a block of time of an hour. How scary is it for you to then take 10 minutes of that hour to just talk?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's one of those things. But again, like, over time you start to see how valuable that thing, that type of thing is. And if you know what you're saying and you've seen it enough times and you've started to stack that proof, you know that 10 minute conversation could end up being the difference in that player eventually connecting the dots later on down the line. Much like you said before we started talking, right? Like,
right.
You know, you started to now start to reap the rewards of things that you learned many, many months ago. And it started to connect now, like, oh, this starts to make sense, right? You can start to lay that foundation for players the same way right. in those sessions.
Right. And I think the biggest thing with shooting especially is, again, like just really breaking it down to simple, digestible sound bites in some ways, you know. And I think that's definitely what you do so well. So I think with as you know, on Instagram, on TikTok, there's a billion at this point, probably different types of shooting drills that a player can learn from or expose themselves to. For yourself, coach, how do you incorporate shooting drills and exercises into your practice routines? And even, like, have you developed some of your own favorite drills for improving shooting accuracy and consistency?
Yeah, I mean, this might sound kind of weird, but like almost everything I do is not drill based at this point. I think early on it was very drill heavy in terms of, oh, we're going to do this drill, we're going to do that drill, but the drill doesn't make the player better. The understanding makes the player better.
Yes.
So I mean, you can 10x what you're able to do shooting the basketball by just doing really, really simple things.
Yes.
Because the shot itself is the complex thing. It's not the drill. So it's just about boiling things down to, okay, how simple can we make the shot, right? Standing still by itself, how simple can we make this for you? How much can we start to get you to understand that shots are made before you take them in terms of how you prepare your body, how you prepare your hands, all this kind of stuff. And then we learn how to move the basketball. We did that. Amazing. How do we add movement? Okay, well, how do we start to add movement in a way that we can then find our balance the same way we just did in our stationary settings? When, how can we take a dynamic situation and make it more static, right? Like, it's very, very simple stuff in terms of what you're looking at. But again, it comes back to that idea that I want people from the outside to be looking at the workout and think it's the most simple thing. Whereas the kid would tell you afterwards, that was one of the hardest workouts I ever did.
Wow.
It's never the drill. It's all in the understanding. And
right.
if you can understand what it is that you're trying to do, man, like you're going to set yourself apart, you know, by a mile from everybody else.
Right. Right. And even for, I mean, some of the listeners over here who are even excited just to see you in a basketball camp, like what does a Coach Mike Dung basketball camp look like? Some of the things that you cover, and I guess what's the teaching points, and what is the takeaways that some of these players are going to be experiencing?
Yeah, I set them up pretty much all the same in terms of what we're going to do, but depending on the group, things will change. But
right.
We'll go from very, very foundational, just learning how do we prepare our body, how do we move the ball. That's the first thing. So we start a lot of things away from the basket entirely to get the mind away from the outcomes. That's kind of coming back to the confidence factor.
Mm-hmm.
But just focus on process. Don't focus on becoming that energy creation machine that you are. So we go from that to balance-oriented things. So when we finally step to the hoop, we're going to really focus on balance, and we're not going to be shooting from a mile away. We're just going to focus on the foundational concepts and then some very simple balance exercises. From that, we work into stuff off of the dribble, which may seem a little bit backwards for a lot of people, because a lot of people like to jump into the catch and shoot stuff.
Right.
The reason that we go off the dribble is because I tell every single player, I said, if you shoot a bad shot off the dribble, whose fault is it? And they'll all say, well, it's my fault. And I said,
right.
Exactly. So
right.
We're going to learn to move with this basketball and put this basketball in a place where there is nobody you can blame a bad shot on but yourself.
Right.
And through that, we get to then piggyback off of the balance type stuff. Now we're learning how to move with the basketball. We're learning how to prepare our hands so that we turn the dynamic into, you know, a more static type situation when it calls. There's a bunch of stuff involved in that. And then we move on to the catch and shoot. Catching and shooting stationary, catching and shooting movement, and then eventually tying it all together in more game-like type action. So, you know, fairly simple things when it comes to that, but it's just a very simple progression, little by little. We break things down to the simplest way possible, the simplest right. thing that you can possibly think of, and then just build off of that within each of those little sections. And I've found that for kids, it's a great way for them to really start to grasp the concepts that we're out there to teach.
See, and that's one thing that surprises me, because I mean, even for myself, being fortunate enough to work in a school, you know, from kids from 5 all the way to 11, you'll be surprised. And I'm sure you've had those moments where you think, like, can I teach this skill to like someone who's so young? And okay, can I add progressions? Are they going to be able to pick it up? Am I moving too fast? And when some of these kids develop these skills and they're doing things that you thought would be too advanced, for me personally, I mean, I've been teaching for about 12 years now, it still surprises me, coach. Like, some of these kids will shoot the lights out, or that move will finally start to click from such a young age. So I mean, from yourself and your experiences so far, is there like a success story of a player that you worked with that stands out to you the most in terms of how you help them achieve their goals?
Man, I don't know if there's one. I think that the success stories to me are more so just when you work with a kid for a period of time and you don't see them for a while, because that's not always going to be possible. I have a lot of kids that will come in and they'll work for like a week. They'll fly in, they'll work with a week. We'll work together for a week and then they'll leave. But throughout the process, updating me on everything that they're doing.
Nice.
And being able to, they were that involved mentally and physically when they were with you, that they now continue to take that information forward and build off of it and incorporate it into who they are, like I talked right. about in the beginning. Like, to me, that happens all the time. And those are the coolest success stories to me, because like, as much as I'd love to keep a kid forever, that's not my job. My job is to give you the information and then you go, right? Like that's more so how this should work. And watching players fulfill that and really kind of take the reins on their development, taking what they've learned and then applying, to me is the coolest success story there will ever be, because they're arming themselves with tools, not just for basketball. They're arming themselves with tools for life in that regard, taking information and then doing with it, you know, what they will in their own unique way. You know, that transcends the basketball floor. That's a life skill.
Right. Right. And even kind of transitioning to, you know, just looking at basketball on a professional level. And, you know, I mean, when I started coming up, you know, playing basketball, if we stole the ball on transition, it would lead to a layup. But obviously now the game of basketball has advanced so much, and some of these athletes play at such a high skill level, now a transition will lead to a three, you know. And you know, there's even that whole debate of, you know, the mid-range game is dead and things of that nature. But when you look at, coach, the level of shooting and how it's improved, and you know, everyone can shoot the ball at this point, where do you see the skill set of shooting, just in terms of, do you see that it's going to mainly come from threes or off the dribble, or do you think the layup is going to be dead, or just in general, where do you see shooting going in basketball over the next 2 to 5 years, let's say?
I just think it gets better and better.
Right.
I don't think anything's ever going to be dead, but I think that, you know, I think players' ability to shoot the basketball, given information that they're privy to now, and teaching hopefully getting better and better, I don't see it going anywhere but up, like anything does, right? Like, it's, the athletes are always getting big, are always getting stronger, and all this. I mean, why wouldn't their skill set continue to get better as well? I don't see that going down, especially with the way the game is trending. So I think it's just going to get better and better. I mean, it's like right now, I know people can't fathom people out there that can shoot the ball better than Steph Curry, but I truly believe that somebody's going to come along better than Steph Curry. Like, that's just the way, that's just the way it goes, you know? So,
right.
Especially with a skill like shooting, it's not like you have to be some crazy physical specimen to be able to shoot the ball like Steph shoots it, right? I think it takes a special mindset and a special work ethic, but there's going to be somebody out there that's watching him right now saying, oh, I'm going to be better than that guy. You know what I mean? That's going to happen. And I think that's really cool.
And for yourself, coach, I mean, being at the level that you are, you know, you definitely stay a student of the game, and especially at this level, what are some of the resources that you rely on, you know, and for ongoing education of shooting, like what are some of the resources that you go to just for development as well?
This answer may surprise some people. I rarely do things with basketball. Almost like everything this. I take I like from this. from a developmental standpoint on my behalf, on a teaching standpoint, communication, it all comes from other things way outside of basketball.
Yes, sir.
So that's what I do. I just read constantly. I read, you know, whatever I can get my hands on, whatever interests me at the time, and then you find ways to take that and apply it over to basketball. And you see that there's parallels in everything that we do. There's parallels in weightlifting. There's parallels 100%. In great people's lives. There's parallels everywhere. So you're constantly, again, filling up your toolbox with these different things. But yeah, I don't really read any basketball stuff. I don't watch a ton of basketball stuff.
Right.
I just kind of stay in my own lane and do what fills me up and what I think helps make me a better teacher.
Right. And see, it's funny because it was really refreshing to hear that response. But two, that kind of reminded me of, I remember this was a couple of years back when I was just on a shooting craze. You know, I was watching your stuff. I was watching Coach Rob, and even there was a podcast where they asked Coach Rob, you know, where did you learn shooting, you know, like how did you break it down simple? And you would think, you know, he would say something, or a coach would say, well, you know, I experimented, or you know, I came from a basketball coach who taught me how to shoot. He said, well, you know, if you study cats, and people think, wait, what has this got to do with shooting? But it was at that moment, you know, there's a quote that says that real wisdom is understanding that, you know, for some people would look at two things that might seem irrelevant, but in actuality are relevant. You know, like there's parallels between all things, you know, so it definitely makes sense how you're away from basketball in that sense of you're reading different content and you're finding the small little nuances or that universal law, that universal understanding that you can apply in different types of aspects. So I love that.
Yeah,
I love that, honestly. Honestly, and I want to be completely respectful of your time. So I've got one last question before we enter the fourth quarter. I think when it comes to the grind, you know, because when I just look at the content that you push out, like how do you have your hand in so many hats, if that makes sense, like just in terms of your routine, getting the content out, filming, editing, doing the podcast, like how have you managed all of that at such a high level?
It's no scientific method for me. I literally just go with the flow of things. Sometimes I don't put things out. Sometimes I do put things out. I just do it when I feel it, which I know would drive a lot of people insane. and I probably should be better about it. But it's one of those things where I just love it, man. I love teaching so much that to me that kind of stuff is just it's crazy that I get to call it my job.
Yeah. So,
it's just one of those things. So I just like to do it. And so I put out as much as I can put out. And if I'm feeling burnt out, I just don't put anything out. And that's just kind of the way that I've always gone about it. But I won't ever put anything out just to do it, just to meet a quota. I'll only put it out if I feel good about it and it interests me and in some capacity. So that's kind of, I mean, if you're doing things that you love to do, man, like you'll find time. You'll find time. Like it's you'll always find the time for the things that mean something to you.
Right. Right, and we're about to enter the quick hitter segment now. I already know some listeners are like, wait, coach, come on, this ain't fair. He already kind of has an idea of what the questions are going to be, but hey, it's been a minute or so.
Been a
Let's
while.
See just how well he can do this one. So the first one, Coach, I want to ask before we do the 10 seconds top five is, especially now, you know, you're in a completely new situation, new perspective, new experiences, new life lessons in itself. What would you say right now, and it's completely fine if it's the same answer as the first time, what is a skill that is taught by many but only mastered by a few?
Man, I think of and seeing things, I think it's communication. And the reason I say that is we communicate every day. And so with that, we should be masters of it. And I would say very, very few are. And being able to communicate something to somebody on a level in which they can apply and understand, I think, is one of the most underrated, undertaught things there are.
Right. Love it. Love it. And the second one might be difficult because, I mean, the amount of content that you absorb and the amount of books that you read, you've probably got a whole list when it comes to this question. But what is the, in this moment, what is the best piece of advice you ever received?
I am. I think that'd be it. Those two words, I am. I think the power of those two words and what you decide to put after it becomes your reality. And I think that's probably with what I read and how many things come back to that, even from years and years and years and years ago, it still comes back to that I am.
Yes.
That's the big one for me.
I love that. Next one, if it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learned filling the blank about myself.
I wouldn't have learned how I wouldn't have learned potentiality, I guess is maybe the word. Like,
okay.
I think if it weren't for basketball, I wouldn't have been able to understand just how possible anything is, just how anything is within your potential.
And then the final one, before we do the 10 seconds, top five. And I believe the first time you answered this question, it was keep shooting. As of right now, in this moment, Coach, what would the title of your autobiography be?
It might be I Am. I might have to double up.
I like that.
I might have to double up on that. In the moment right now, that's what it feels like. I have a book that I just titled, like I have my own notebook and it says I Am.
Nice.
And I write in it every morning. So nice. It's that may have to be the one.
I love that. Bet. And the final one, Coach, 10 seconds. Top five, gonna play the countdown and let's see if you can list off five things in those 10 seconds. Bet. So let's start nice and easy. And I've added a few new ones in there as well. So, Coach, the first one, let's start nice and easy. It's the playoffs. So certain names should be ringing a few bells. 10 seconds, Coach, to name five NBA players.
10, 9,
Steph Curry,
8,
Klay Thompson,
7,
LeBron James,
6,
Draymond Green,
5,
I guess he's playing,
4,
and
3,
De'Aaron Fox. That's
nice.
Right. Okay.
Now, speaking of you know what? That's a whole other conversation because Kings is, my gosh, Right. 10 seconds, Coach, to name five NBA teams.
Los Angeles Lakers, 10, Memphis Grizzlies,
9,
Los
8,
Angeles Lakers,
7,
Memphis Grizzlies,
6,
Philadelphia 76ers,
5,
Brooklyn
4,
Nets, Boston
3,
Celtics.
Nice.
2,
nice. With 3 seconds left. Okay, next one. In the past, some of the guests have gotten better, but they usually list off the first 2 to 3, and then when it comes down to that last two, this is where it can get a bit fuzzy. So, 10 seconds, Coach, to name five NBA coaches.
Okay.
10,
Eric,
9,
Eric Spoelstra,
8,
Jock
7,
Vaughn, Darvin
6,
Ant,
5, 4,
Doc
3,
Rivers.
Nice.
2,
last one.
1.
I'll take the 4. Ooh, okay, so last four right here. So the next one, coach, is you have got 10 seconds to name five international players in the NBA.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
I don't know why Dario Saric came to my mind.
Okay.
Jokic.
Yep.
Joel Embiid. Man, yep. I don't know what I'm doing. Giannis.
Yep.
Jeez, there's so many. There's so many. I don't know why that went blank for me.
It's true. Okay. Final three, coach. 10 seconds to name, and this is just your own personal one here. 10 seconds to name five basketball movies.
Oh.
10, 9.
Finding Forrester. Above
seven,
the rim.
Yep. Six,
Love and Basketball.
Five,
classic.
Four.
Rebound.
Three.
Classic.
Two.
And Coach
one.
Carter.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a strong five right there. That is a strong five. Final two, coach. You've got 10 seconds to give me your top five players of all time.
Okay.
10, 9,
Michael Jordan,
eight,
LeBron
nine,
James,
seven,
Wilt Chamberlain,
six, five, four, three,
Kareem, I'm putting in my
two,
fourth,
one.
And then my fifth. Know who my fifth is. I would say, I don't know. I really don't know, man. I'll say
it's tough.
I'll say my guy Kobe, just because. We'll
nice.
Say Kobe's fine.
For sure. And the final one, coach, who are, if you do, name five artists that get you mentally prepped for a workout or just a shoot around?
10, 9.
Okay, I don't really
eight,
listen to music a whole
seven,
lot anymore, but
okay.
I do listen to.
Five,
I will listen to J. Cole,
four,
but other than that, I read.
Okay.
So I read to get me prepared for work, which sounds like a crazy thing,
right?
But reading puts my mind in a different place, so that's why.
Nice.
But if I'm listening to music, it's just J. Cole. That's really it.
Ooh, so bonus question then, just for even not just for myself, but for the listeners, what's like the top three books that kind of just change your perspective or just opened up your mind to new ways of thinking?
Yeah, so Mastery by George Leonard is amazing.
Okay.
The Almanac of Naval Ravikant, which is just a series of excerpts of things that Naval has said in the past and put together in book form, is absolutely incredible. And then The Beginning of Infinity, which is a kind of a book about everything.
Wow.
That book will bend your mind, and it took me 2 years to read it. But
wow.
It eventually, when you get through it, you start to then pick up on things, and then go back and read it again and find other things. But those three books will really change your way of thinking, for sure.
Nice. I mean, coach, honestly, I can't thank you enough. Listeners, so many gems. Please, the links are in the description. But for those who are listening now, coach, please just talk to me about where they can find you if they want to just find out more just about how to become better shooters. Subscription, all that good stuff. Where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me Instagram at C Mike Dunn, YouTube C Mike Dunn, and then you can find me at cmikedunn.com. Those are my three spots.
Perfect. Listeners, honestly, absolute treat. You know, so definitely after this, please check him out on the Instagram, the website, the subscription service. Go out there, start shooting, perfecting your craft. This is myself and the sharpshooter, the teacher, that is Coach Mike Dunn, signing out.